one in three people in Ireland encounter a mental health problem at some point in their lives.
Mental health tends to focus on very narrow aspects of a person's well-being.
We need to talk more about it, because how else are people ever going to feel like they're not on their own?
I mean, if you, for example, tell somebody that you're depressed or that you hear voices, immediately that defines you, and this is where the difficulty lies, and this is what stigma is all about. It's basically misunderstanding.
Everyone, all of us, have the power to help decrease the stigma and discrimination, because it's really just about changing our own minds and how we view people.
The quality of your life improves hugely when you know it's okay to come out and talk about this.
Everybody has potential to recover. That's the most important thing about mental illness. You can recover.
Welcome to Mind Matters, a five-part series on mental health. Mental health problems are found in people of all ages, regions, countries and societies. It is estimated that approximately 450 million people worldwide have a mental health problem. In Ireland, at any one time, over 400,000 people experience depression. Mind Matters will examine mental health, its importance and some of the key ways a person can maintain a healthy mind. Throughout the series, we will speak to both representatives from various mental health organisations and sufferers of mental illness who will share their experiences of coping with a mental health difficulty. In today's programme, we will be discussing the topic of mental health in general, what the term mental health actually means, and some of the ways that it can manifest itself.
My name is Anne Buckley and I work with an organisation called Mental Health Ireland. It's a national voluntary organisation. There's two main areas that we work in. We support people with mental ill health and we promote positive mental health in the community, and that includes working in schools and with youth organisations. The first thing we have to say about mental health is it's something we all have. It's an integral part of our overall health and well-being. Good mental health is the part of us that allows us to enjoy life. It's about being able to manage the ups and downs of life, but being able to cope with the normal stresses of life, work or study. For young people, it's mostly about resilience and how they can sort of build up their mental strength to sort of meet the challenges of life. And for them, again, it's promoting self-worth, personal responsibility, accountability, self-awareness, all those things. And then the emotional competencies that go with that. And I suppose also having a sense of belonging, belonging to family and belonging to the community, and having proper civil and social skills to take them through life. Because there's such stigma and poor perception of mental health, we go into denial and our parents go into denial. So that's the biggest problem, I would say. And then the fear around admitting you have a mental health difficulty, the fear of losing a job or losing out in a place in college. You know, the attitude, I don't want anybody to know, so therefore it's much more difficult then to get the proper treatment. Everybody has the potential to have problems with their mental health. If you suffer from stress, if you live in isolation, if you have poor social skills, if you have little social support, you're always at risk if you have any of those. So it's quite common. People, you know, feel mental health is mental illness, which are two completely and separate things. for the young people, as I said, building personal resilience is one of the programs that we do, which is very important in getting young people to manage their mental health and to be more aware of what things they can do to protect it. We have a program called Mental Health Matters, which we run in secondary schools. We also have a public speaking project around mental health, which we do every year in the transition fifth year age group in secondary schools as well. And then for people with a mental illness, we have recovery education and wellness programs, because everybody has potential to recover. The first port of call is to the GP. He or she can carry out an assessment of your mental health and they can help you deal with it or refer you on to the appropriate services. It's important to say that the GP can deal with lots of mental health issues unless they have come across a person who is at an advanced stage of their mental illness, then they may not be able to help them. But the GP can help most people with mental health. The attitudes that young people portray, you know, when it comes to talking about their mental health, it makes them feel, you know, out of their comfort zone and it's not easy for them to do. They also think that people with mental illness, that they never recover and that they have no future. They also believe that mental health is beyond our control, which it's not at all. We can really, really do a lot to look after our mental health. Issues affecting mental health are not openly discussed. We're not good to talk about depression or bereavement or suicide. They're kind of hush-hush topics. And then feelings that affect our mental health, feelings such as anger and fear and guilt, these are feelings that are difficult for people. They're difficult to express. A mentally healthy person has a positive outlook on life and is open-minded about their experiences and ideas, and they welcome change. They don't fear change. They have realistic goals in life. They enjoy challenge, but they are aware and accept their own limitations and shortcomings. They enjoy simple everyday pleasures and are not overcome or overwhelmed completely by disappointment. Disappointment is a part of life. If we're not ever disappointed in anything, then we're never going to have any great pleasure. So it's learning how to accept disappointment and how to overcome it. They experience a full range of human emotions, like it's okay to feel anger, to fear, love, hate, guilt. All these things are normal emotions. But it is when we become overcome by them that we are in difficulty. For example, every time we're angry about something, if we get furiously angry and that we're not able to control our temper, that's when we're in trouble. So it's about being able to deal with our human emotions. Another thing that a mentally healthy person does is that they respect themselves and they respect others. And they can express their feelings and they know how to communicate. They have good, open communication. They can talk to their family and their friends and their school. They can talk to their teachers about it. They have open and trusting relationships and they're capable of trusting people and loving others as well as loving themselves. The last thing is they identify and feel part of various groups. In other words, they have a sense of belonging, first of all, to family, you know, to their peer group if they're students, to their colleagues if they're working, and that they enjoy sporting and other group activities. So they're all sort of kind of qualities of a mentally healthy person. People with mental health difficulty, the most important thing to remember about them is that they are firstly people. So they have basic human rights that everybody else has. They have rights to be listened to and rights to be respected. Since the Mental Health Act was passed in 2001, I think it was set up, they set up the Mental Health Commission, and that was set up to ensure the rights of people with mental illness to a higher standard of care within the mental health services. They also have a remit to increase the public awareness and to promote and protect the rights of people with mental health problems. So I suppose there's a lot of things happening there now that weren't in the past for people with mental illness.
In 2009, Ireland had the fourth highest suicide rate in Europe among young people. Suicide is now the single biggest killer of young men aged between 15 to 24, taking more lives in this age bracket than road traffic accidents. Therefore, it is important to teach skills to people at a young age on how to cope with life's ever-changing dynamics. Episode 2 of this series focuses on the development of mental health programs in secondary and third level colleges. Jerry MacDonald from Feroiga and Siobhan O'Brien from the Limerick Youth Service are just two of the people featured in this episode.
My name is Jerry MacDonald and I'm Head of Training and Programmes in Feroiga. Feroiga is a youth organisation. It actually delivers services to about 50,000 young people, and it has different areas. It has Feroiga clubs, but it also has lots of projects and youth services around the country. What it's mainly about is the development of young people, is to involve young people in their own development and the development of society. Mental health is about accepting both the positive and the negative, but believing that the negative will be overcome by the positive. Mental health is a controlling factor in how we react under different stress that we encounter. Mental health is about knowing who we really are. It helps me to be myself. It means expressing your strengths and your personality. There are positive layers of influence that influences a person, but there are also negative ones like frustration, pressure, isolation, being judged. Sometimes the key to the keyhole is, if you're feeling bad, to be aware that you're feeling bad, to acknowledge that and to accept it, and to be able to talk to somebody else about it. If you don't have that outlet or that way of opening up the door to yourself, that you can get into all sorts of trouble. And a lot of young people that get into real mental health problems have normal everyday feelings, but they don't allow themselves to feel them. They tell themselves they shouldn't feel that way, and they don't talk to anybody.
My name is Siobhan O'Brien and I'm a youth worker with Limerick Youth Service. Limerick Youth Service is established since 1973 and it engages a wide range of young people that cannot function within the mainstream education. So they come to the youth service where there is an ILP, an individual learning plan, drawn up for them, and we meet the young people where they're at and they're educated through that way versus a one-size-fits-all like there is in the mainstream education. There's a lot of stigma attached to mental health because when you think of it immediately, you think of someone's cuckoo, someone's mad, etc. So this is to break down all those stigmas and all those misconceptions about mental health. And with young people, it's about helping them identify and be able to verbalise their feelings, be able to identify coping mechanisms, identify resources in their life that would help them promote their mental health, and really introduce them to any services around the city that would help them just to live as normal a life and as healthy and physical a life as they can. I think sometimes we underestimate the capabilities young people have in getting through difficult periods in their life. I think young people are much more resourceful than we give them credit for. Peer education is huge. The only way to reach young people is through young people. So my biggest query was to mind out is, let's get a program that would facilitate young people to become facilitators of the Mind Out program, because I think that's the way to go. Young people supporting young people with the right resources in place. Someone as me as a backup or a co-facilitator. But I think we should appreciate the ability of young people to look after themselves.
Mental health organisations such as Aware and Spun Out do great work around mental health within the community. Episode 3 of this series tracks their community involvement and outlines ways in which they can support people who suffer with a mental illness. Mary McGrath from Aware and Ruthney Aidan from Bodywise Ireland are two of the people featured in this episode.
My name is Mary McGrath and I am the Executive Officer with Aware, covering the Western Seaboard in Ireland. Aware have a lot of different projects around the country. We have support groups for people who are affected by depression and also for relatives of those people with depression. We also have a Beat the Blues Schools program, which is a depression awareness program for second level schools. We're living in a time where there's a lot of economic pressure on people, maybe young people going to college for the first time, just different stresses and strains that are there for people. And if people feel that they've no one to talk to as well, that can lead into even more stress. So all that can build up and it could lead to an increase if there is one there. One of the most common misconceptions would be that I'm never going to get well. You come across that a lot. Or another one would be that there's nothing wrong with me. They're probably the main ones that I come across. And of course, they are misconceptions. People can get well. you don't necessarily have to go on medication either.
Bodywise is the Eating Disorders Association of Ireland, so we're the national voluntary organisation primarily set up to provide support for people affected by eating disorders. We were set up originally in 1995, and as is the case with I think a lot of particularly mental health charities, it was a case that a group of parents got together who had children who were having an issue with an eating disorder, and there was nothing there. First of all, start off by saying that it's a serious mental health condition. That has to be the base point for any discussion about it. It's very much viewed as, I suppose, a coping mechanism, a way of kind of taking control of some aspect of your life, usually because whatever factors have come together to create a situation that you feel you can't cope with. So in terms of specific behaviours, it may be that a person is restricting their diet, it may be that a person is binge eating, it may be that a person is binge eating and then purging, but underneath all that there tend to be similar kinds of emotional issues that they are having difficulty coping with. The most obvious thing would be that there would be a change in behaviours around food. It may be that a person is restricting their diet. They will often also be, for instance, over-exercising. The two tend to go hand in hand. So changes in food behaviours, changes in not just behaviour around how they actually deal with food, but say a family member might notice that a person is skipping meal times or is saying that they've eaten when they may not have. Or another thing is a sort of a preoccupation with food but not with eating it. They may do things like they might start reading a lot of cookbooks, watching cookery shows, things like that, and even cooking for other people but not eating themselves. And also more general things that have nothing to do with food. The person will usually become quite withdrawn. They'll take a step back from their usual activities, from their friends. In terms of, say, a person who's at school or college going age, it will usually have an impact on their academic performance.
Mental health is one of the most difficult issues to discuss in society today. People who suffer with a mental illness not only have to cope with the negative stereotypes which surround the issue, but must also cope with continuing everyday life. Featured in episode 4 are Jane Arago from Headline, the national media monitoring agency for mental health and suicide, and Radio 4 breakfast presenter Gareth O'Callaghan speaks about his experiences with depression.
My name is Jane Arago and I'm the media project coordinator for Headline, which is a national media monitoring programme for mental health and suicide in the Republic of Ireland. Headline was established in October 2006 by the National Office for Suicide Prevention as part of ReachOut, which is the national strategy for suicide prevention in Ireland. It was felt that one area where we could make a big difference in suicide prevention was through reporting on mental health and suicide in the media. Therefore, Headline was established and myself took over as the project manager. We used a number of media monitoring programs through different organizations to monitor all print media on a daily basis. We get in about 70 articles a day. Of these articles, we have a small percentage that are either very positive or very negative. All of the articles are logged into a database so we can see monitor trends over time. Of the negative and positive articles, then we would contact journalists to say either congratulations or that their work perhaps needs to change slightly, that perhaps the way that they're reporting might lead to imitative behaviour, mm-hmm. copycat suicides, or that it might be stigmatising towards mental health. It makes it very difficult for someone to come forward and say, I have this severe mental illness, if other people are going to go, well, I think I've read in the paper that these people are then prone to random acts of violence. So it stops people from coming forward and getting the help that they need. It stops them from telling their friends and family what they actually have. And it kind of gives the misrepresentation that mental illness is very rare, mm-hmm. where it's 1 in 100 people in Ireland has schizophrenia. So that's not just them who is affected. I mean, that means that all of their family, all of their friends, everyone they work with, the people that they're in college with, are also touched by it. But by people not speaking about it because of the stigma that's associated to it, people think it's not me, it's not my family, it's somebody else somewhere else.
This is Gareth O'Callaghan. I'm the breakfast show presenter on 4FM. I worked for many, many years, over 15 years with 2FM and with RTE on a variety of shows. I did breakfast, I did afternoons, I worked for Radio 1. I was also a producer on the Gay Byrne show back in the 1990s, and I was also a producer on Liveline when Marion Finucane was the presenter of the phone-in show. I'm probably best remembered at this stage outside of radio for a book I wrote in 2003 called A Day Called Hope, which documented my own personal experiences with depression. Years and years ago, I think way, way back, probably in my teens, I just felt very insecure, very uncertain, very unsure about life generally. And it was something that stayed with me. It was like something that was sort of stuck to my back. I just couldn't shake it off. It was that horrible feeling of insecurity and instability, like as if I just was only really firing on kind of 65% of sort of full power. Always questioning myself, very low self-esteem, just found it very, very difficult to cope from very early on. I mean, there were periods where that would lift, but it seemed to come back, and the slightest little thing would sometimes rock the boat so much that I would just sink back to that point. I had a very high-profile job, so consequently, it was something I wanted to keep quiet, I wanted to keep very secretive. I just felt nobody would understand me if I was to talk about it. And I knew that if I lost my job, well, the family, we'd lose our home. There'd be no money coming in because I was the sole earner in the household at that stage. And I had three daughters who were in school. And consequently, I was aware that if I went over the edge there may not be any coming back. The only reason there's a stigma attached to it is because no one understands it. They don't know what depression is. They call it an illness. It's not an illness. Cancer is an illness. Brain tumor is an illness. Chest infections, migraines, they're all illnesses. They can be cured with medication. They can be cured with radiation and chemotherapy. Depression can't be cured because pathologically you can't point to a part of the body and say, that's what's depressed. The whole system collapses. And it's a spiritual disease, not disease, but an ill-at-ease feeling that affects the spirit and the energy levels of the body. So if that's the case, something that affects the body can be removed by affecting the body in another way, by sort of changing what you're doing that's causing you to feel this way.
Stress, a lack of exercise, and a poor diet can all have a negative impact on our mental well-being. The final episode of Mind Matters looks at some of the key ways that we can positively influence our mental health. Featured in this episode are yoga instructor Sarah Stockman and dietitian Yvonne Chambers.
At the beginning of any yoga class, we always start by, or any yoga series of classes, we start by explaining to the students that there are five main areas. And essentially this would cover proper exercise or asanas, which are the postures. We talk about proper breathing of pranayama, the way to control the energy, proper relaxation or savasana, and proper diet. I think that positive outlook on life is so important, and really it is so hard to maintain it, but to try to keep coming back to what's important. And one really gorgeous thing that I've been told that I've always tried to bring in is literally count your blessings. And at the end of each day, think of, say, seven things that are just wonderful. There are positive things going on. Very much about not being egotistical and not being I-centered or I-focused, but at the same time, don't be afraid of thinking about yourself. And okay, it is about letting go of the self-conscious, but it is important to, I guess, address what is going on in your mind and then let it go. And in things like yoga, it is about just giving yourself this time and letting yourself be nice to yourself.
The role of nutrition and a healthy diet and looking after one's mental health is certainly very important. Many people know that a good diet is very important for heart disease or for diabetes or managing your weight, but not many people think immediately of looking after your mental health. So a lot of recent evidence has shown that it can be just as important for your mental health to follow a healthy, balanced diet. It can also help to maintain good mental health if you have
we'll say depression or something like that, to actually help with your recovery as well, but it should sit alongside your other treatment. Some of the key ways that food can affect a person's mood include, if your diet is quite inadequate or if you eat very limited foods, this can result in nutrient deficiencies which affect your mood or can affect your brain function. And this is very well documented. For example, if you have a low iron intake, you can feel very weak or tired. And the way to prevent this is making sure that you eat meat, fish, avoid drinking tea with meals as well. This can reduce your iron absorption. Also, if you have low B vitamin intakes, for example, thiamine or niacin, this can actually affect your mood, can cause problems, fatigue, you can feel depressed or irritable. And the way to prevent this is eating plenty of meat, whole grain foods, fruit and vegetables, or fortified breakfast cereals. Also, another B vitamin that's important is folate. This can increase your chance, if you have low folate intake, of feeling depressed. So eating plenty of green vegetables, citrus fruits, beans, again, fortified breakfast cereals are a good source. A way to find out a dietitian in your area would be to log on to www.indi.ie. Also, you could look up the health promotion website, which is www.healthpromotion.ie. Especially for students as well, watching money can be important. So when you are buying foods, it can seem a lot more expensive to buy healthier foods than unhealthy foods. But to buy things that are in season, like fruit and vegetables, frozen fruit and vegetables are also a very good idea. And when you're cooking, do more than you need. Put it away in little portions and then freeze it, and you can reheat it then as you need it.
You've been listening to episode 1 of Mind Matters. Tune in again next week for the second installment of this series, which will look at student mental health. Wired FM would like to thank all those who participated in the making of this series. And for further information on any of the matters discussed in this episode, please log on to www.wiredfm.ie. Mind Matters was written and produced by Wired FM. The series was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland through the Sound and Vision Scheme.